Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Elise Bennett is here, too. Elise is one of our good friends, a longtime Brain Trust member. Actually, she's an original founding member of our Brain Trust, all the way back to 1998. She's the author of so many books. I had to get a wheelbarrow to bring them to the office, into the studio. The Designer's Guide to Marketing and Pricing, The Creative Professional's Guide to Money. Those are just two of them. She also wrote a book about shy people. You want to check that one out, too, those of you who are shy. Obviously not a talk show host. And she's our good friend, Elise Bennett. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Really good to be here.
It's always a pleasure to have you back, all the way from Hoboken.
Yes.
Okay, Elise, I was telling the audience before you got here, you are really an expert at helping professionals, especially personal service professionals, freelancers, consultants, people like that. Anybody who doesn't necessarily have inventory, where time is their inventory, maybe is what I should say.
And are you aware that there are 42 million
people who are
independent contractors?
I didn't know there were that many, but I knew there were a lot.
One in three.
Yeah, and more, and there will be more as time goes by.
Yeah.
And you're an expert at helping them, as I said before you got here, at helping them set their prices, deliver their goods based on those prices, and then and actually have a pricing strategy. Talk to us about that.
Well, one of the things that I've been thinking about lately is value-based pricing, because what I noticed...
Value-based pricing.
We'll define it, but let me set it up by saying that most people just automatically price by the hour.
Right.
Like, that's typical freelancing pricing, no matter what you do.
Or by the word or by the page, depending on... There's some unit of measure, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And sometimes the problem with that kind of pricing is that the better you get, the quicker you get, the less you can charge.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really not conducive to growing. And also, your client has no context. When they ask you what's your hourly rate, if you tell them $20, if you tell them $100, they don't know how long the thing is going to take.
Right.
But for some reason, they think that they can compare apples to apples if they talk about hourly rates. And
right.
I just am totally against that for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been exploring a little bit this idea of value-based pricing, which is essentially where you put a value on the deliverable, whatever it is you're going to do, or the outcome of what it is you're going to do, even better.
Even as long as the outcome is within your control and not something that they have control over.
Yes and no. I think you can still have the conversation and help your client put a value to it and then base your price on that.
Well, as long as it's something, but the reason I say that is I used to have people who would say when I had my consulting company, I want you to do this for me, and if it works out, I'll pay you.
Right. No, but that's working on spec.
I mean, that's right.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Right.
I'm saying, for example, if I propose to do, one of the things I'm doing lately is content marketing programs for clients. So if I say, if your goal is to generate, you know, $1 million in revenue over the course of this year, then is it worth 10% of that as an investment to do the marketing, right? And
right.
So 10%, that's what, $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
Is it worth $100,000 to get $1 million? And that way you're not necessarily guaranteeing that they're going to get $1 million if they spend the $100,000, but at least it puts it in a framework that they can think about it in a more realistic way, as opposed to how much time are you going to spend to create the content.
All right. And then are you willing to, if they say no, it's not worth 100, it's not worth 10%, but it's worth 7.5%.
Absolutely. There you negotiate. I mean,
now you got a frame of reference.
Exactly. And the whole point, I mean, I come across so many people who just don't want to even talk about money.
Right.
Right? I mean, that's the biggest problem, is they don't want to talk about money.
You mean consultants or freelancers who don't want to talk about money?
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And you'd be amazed, or you might not be, a lot of people might be amazed, how many freelancers do the work and then don't send an invoice.
I know.
What's that all about?
Well, actually, I have some ideas about what that's about. Like, I have one client in particular who, several, in fact, who, you know, they're not keeping very good track of their time, and they're not very organized. And so what it would take to put the invoice together is more than they can actually face, so they'd rather just not.
One of the reasons I was successful as a consultant was my customers liked my billing because I identified what I did for them, the day I did it, how much time I spent, and what the project was about. Every line had a description, and because they were used to getting a bill from their attorney for $3,000, and it just said, for work done, $3,000. They didn't know what it was. And I always gave a lot, and they used to compliment me on that, and I know that caused them to come back to me more often.
Yeah, when there's clarity, people appreciate it. And when there's not clarity, so when you don't even bill it, then there's a whole lot of lack of clarity there.
I want to come back to this value pricing thing, though, because one of the things I like about what you're saying is it not only is it going to help you make more money, it's going to take you away from being a wage earner.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to move you away from being, from your what you offer being a wage earner and more towards being something that's a little bit less tied to a dollar per hour. What do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a whole different mindset. I make a distinction between, like, the small business owner mindset, which has a lot of confidence in the product or the service that they deliver and are negotiating with that confidence, as opposed to the wage earner mindset, where you can't really guarantee any results, and you're not really sure what the effect of your work is going to be, so you might as well just be paid for your time.
And if you can't think of yourself as a freelancer, if you can't think of yourself as a small business owner, you're probably going to be relegated to being a wage earner your whole life.
Absolutely, and it's this kind of employee mindset, which is extremely passive, where the client's in charge, and they tell you what to do, and they tell you how much they're going to pay you.
That's right. And so, folks, if I could tell any freelancer anything, the first thing I would say is think of yourself as a business owner, and but in the work that you do, you serve that business, as in the consulting that you do. Hold on to that thought. We're going to come back and talk about this special event that Elise has got coming up where they teach things like this. And that's after these messages. Elise Bennett and I will be right back. Stay with us.
Dream lover, so I don't have to dream alone.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.